It's from Matthew chapter 7. If you're following it in the church Bibles, it's on page 971. It's still on that page if you're not following it in the church Bibles. And it should appear behind me. Matthew chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognise them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognise them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teacher of the law. Chris.
So, it's quite a long Bible reading this morning, but I wanted the whole bit read because it sort of holds together several things which I think are really important to understanding what it means to being a follower of Christ. So we start off just trying to think about what is Jesus speaking about? He's speaking about the circumstances of our lives. And our lives can seem to be at the mercy of the things that happen to us, the various circumstances that come upon us. We're all mortal. I'm sorry if that's a bit of a shock to you this morning, but we're all going to die. And that mortality makes us feel uneasy, makes us feel anxious. We're all vulnerable to emotional stresses and strains in our lives. We have really the choice of cutting ourselves off from people and hardening our hearts towards other people, in which case we cut ourselves off from relationship, or if we enter into relationship with other people, then their failings or their mortality hurt us. They leave us wounded. So we're very vulnerable in our emotions. And financially, we're vulnerable. You never know when you have enough money. There's always the fear that some difficulty will arise or some need will arise that will be more than we have. So these anxieties make us anxious, and they drive us to seek to protect ourselves, to try and find some way of insulating ourselves from these perils. However successful we might appear to be in life, we still face that inevitability of death. And one of my favourite quotes comes from Leo Tolstoy, who was one of the most successful novelists ever, and has written perhaps one of the greatest books of all time. And when he was speaking about his life, he asked this question: what meaning has my life that the inevitability of death will not destroy? It was also pointed out that he had something like 13 children, so it wasn't that he didn't have a happy family life. But he recognised the fragility of our lives. Perhaps think back to that stone and how long that stone had existed compared with yourself. The poet Shelley famously wrote about an apparently successful life. He wrote this: I met a traveller from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunken, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on those lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear: my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. It really holds up to examination what will last in our lives. How can we leave a legacy in our lives? How can we find those things that will bring us joy and peace that our circumstances can't destroy? In our reading, we heard the teaching of Jesus, and near the end of the passage in verse 24, Jesus declared, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man, a wise man, who built his house on the rock. And those of you with colouring sheets might recognise that picture. First, he gives us an assurance and a summary of his teaching. He assures us that God is good and only wants good for us. That's a fundamental assumption that Jesus makes and a demonstration that he makes about who God is. So that what happens to us is not random or neutral, but that ultimately God wants good for us. Then he teaches how we should treat others, that we should treat them as we'd have them to treat us. As he puts it elsewhere, to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. So these two things form the bedrock of Christian teaching: that God is good and wants good for our lives, and that we should love others as we love ourselves. And on these foundations, we can build a secure life, a life that will have meaning, that will endure. Jesus gives three warnings as we build on that foundation, three warnings about the right way to build. The first is that there are true things in life and things that are false. If we build into the true, then we're secure. If we build into the false, then we're not secure. So there's a true way and a false way. There are true prophets and false prophets. There are true disciples and false disciples. So the true and false way. The narrow way is the right way. This is a guide in our lives. When we're looking for the truth, it is not the majority, the masses, the most likes, the most Twitter followers that is true. The narrow way is the truth. And remembering, that's believing that God loves us and loving others as we love ourselves. That's the narrow way. Those who build in this way are building a secure life. We need God's wisdom to guide us into the true way. Then he speaks of true and false prophets. Just because somebody says they have a message from God, or these days perhaps just a message that will mean your life is safe and secure, doesn't mean that they really do. The truth of Jesus' teaching was attested by the fact that God rose him from the dead. This gave validity to all of his prophetic words. So, as death could not hold him, his word was proved to be true. So if what I'm telling you fits in with what Jesus tells you, then do it. If it doesn't, then by all means, ignore me. Seek the true, not the false. The true and false disciple. This is perhaps the most frightening of all. Simply saying that we're a follower of Jesus, using all the right language, even coming to church regularly, doesn't make you secure. You need to do the will of the Father in heaven. We need to respond to the word of God and not simply hear it. So in the light of Jesus' assuring and teaching and then his warnings, how should we go about putting these words into action? Well, there's quite a lot of things in the Bible that are quite clearly stated, like do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery. In those decisions in life, we really don't need any more guidance. If you're tempted to steal something and you ask God, should I steal this? He's not likely to respond because he's already told you, do not steal. So you have his guidance in these matters. But there are other things in life where we need the clear guidance of the Holy Spirit. This takes us back to the beginning of the passage that we heard read. Ask, seek, knock. And I'm going to think about that in terms of not three different ways of praying, but three stages of seeking the will of God. So first, we ask. Or down here, you ask. We inquire of God. We look to him for provision. What is his narrow way? Who's speaking God's truth? How can I do the will of the Father? And we put a question to God. Then we seek. Having asked God, we look for a response. We look to see what he lays out before us. We listen to hear what he says. We hold on to the fact that God loves us and wants what best for us, and that he requires us to love others as we love ourselves. And finally, we knock. When we believe that we know what God's will is, we take some action and we see how God responds. So I'm going to try and illustrate that with a simple example from real life. Should you move to a new job? I don't know. Should you move to a new job? Maybe you ask God that question. If you're in that situation, you're wondering about it, ask him. Don't just worry about it, but ask God, should I move to a new job? Perhaps say to him, I want the job you want me to have, whether it means staying put or starting in something new. Show me the right way to go about it and who to ask for advice. Lead me to the decision which is best for me and for others. So do you see how that's founded in the fact that you believe that God wants what's best for you, that he is good, and he wants you to love others? So you ask the question in that way. Then seek. Have your eyes and ears open to see how God is responding. What opportunities do you feel drawn to? How would taking that role affect you and others? What is God saying as you worship him and as you study his word? Very often, as we read the Bible, the particular passage that we're led to reading that day, as we go through a regular pattern of reading, can be the response of God to that question. And I've experienced that myself in just the last few days, that as you ask God a question, he illuminates parts of his word to give guidance and direction. So seek. Then finally, knock. So having laid it all before God and trying to hear what he's saying and applying in the right way, you see a role that you think maybe God's leading to you to, which you believe might be able to bring blessing to others. So apply. Knock. Put some practical skin in the game. Put yourself into a situation of finding out whether this is God's will. But as you do so, put it again in God's hands. Trust him with the response. Don't be irritated if the application is turned down or the interview is unsuccessful. Know that God is in this and he's directing you in it. Trust him that he wants what is best for you. Even if you thought it was the best job in the world, know that God has the best thing for you and for others. If the answer is no, then take that as a response from God. Stay put and ask a different question. Maybe ask God, how can I best serve you right here where you've put me? How can I bless others in this situation? So I hope that little illustration just unpacks what I mean. But your situation will be different. Some of you are beyond the time when you're worrying about a new job. How lovely that must be. Perhaps for you, it's where should I live? Maybe for you, it's what volunteer work should I get involved in? Whatever it is that you're seeking to decide, know that God loves you. He's calling you to love others. Just go through that process of asking, seeking, and knocking. Trusting all the way through that process. Well, early in the service, we saw the little video about the gospel, the good news. Poor old Ian does come in for some stick in that video. The good news that Jesus has opened a way for us to enjoy relationship with our Heavenly Father and start receiving his good gifts into our lives. And those gifts which he wants to give you and pour out through you. So the Christian faith is immensely practical. It doesn't just stop with the theory of that's what God wants to do. But it requires us not only to hear Jesus' words, but to do them, to respond to them. Perhaps being here this morning is a response to a question. You ask God to unpack something more of his love towards you or to show something in direction of your life. And you've come here. Maybe in listening to what Susan's taken you through, what I've said in my word, and what's come through the songs, you've heard God speak into your situation. Well, now do something about it. Respond to what God has said to you. Knock on that door. Take those practical steps to accept his forgiveness, to be reconciled with him, to turn around the direction of your life and follow Jesus. What might that look like in practice? What might you need to do for that to be lived out in your life? Investigate. Is there some way in which you can do what you believe God is asking you to do? And to do good for others? And for him to do good to you? In that passage where it says, ask, seek, and knock. Actually, the literal translation is ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. So this isn't just something that we do once at the beginning of our Christian life and then forget about, but something that we do over and over again. Always listening to that response so that we ask perhaps a different question so that we get a different answer. It's a wise man that once said, if you keep asking the same question, you'll keep getting the same answer. So if you get the answer you don't want, ask a different question. So let's close with a prayer in response to what God's been saying to us. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you want to give us good gifts. Whatever the circumstances of our lives say right now, we cling on to that truth revealed in Jesus Christ that you are good and want to give us good gifts. We want to ask, how can I build my life on your words? Maybe in your own heart, just reflect that question. Please reveal your will to me through your word and by your spirit, and help me to find the way to know your eternal love, joy,
and peace. Amen.